And Sean Hannity here with a highlight from my radio show today, right here on iHeartRadio.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
You have never seen in the history of the United States the debt ceiling or the threat of not raising the debt ceiling being used to extort a president or a governing party.
The anarchists have taken over. They've taken over the House. Now they're here in the Senate.
This is playing with fire. Legislative arsonists are at work when they start using the debt limit for their own agenda.
Why are we doing this? Wasting time to satisfy the furthest right wing of the Republican Party? We're again catering to a fringe agenda thought up by partisans obsessed with a deficit boogie. Man.
We are for cutting spending. We're for reforming our tax code. We're for reforming our entitlements. What we're not for is negotiating with people who have a bomb strapped to their chest.
You have Republican Tea Party extremists actually celebrating, and you've got Republicans on the other side who are irrational and not playing with a full deck. These people have come unhinged.
The modern anarchists don't do that. That's the Tea Party. But they have the same philosophy as the early anarchists. They do not believe in government.
Do not shut down the government. Do not shut down the economy. Do not threaten to burn the house down simply because you haven't gotten 100% of your way.
It's like a 1930s gangster film. It's a nice economy you got there. Pity if it should happen to blow up if you don't pay us off by giving us what we want.
I invite my colleagues on the other side to wake up from this radical ideological wet dream and come back to reality.
Now, I'm going to talk about the potential for a shutdown. I think the only phrase that describes it is political terrorism. We have a list of demands. If you don't meet them all by our deadline, we'll blow up the global economy.
This legislation is preying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on people, on children, on veterans, on seniors.
To suggest America not pay its bills just to try to blackmail a president into giving them some concessions on issues that have nothing to do with the budget. I mean, this is the United States of America. We're not a deadbeat nation.
It gets uglier now by the minute. Glad you're with us. 24 minutes now till the top of the hour. 8 hours and 24 minutes away from a potential government shutdown. And not one move, not even a negotiation, not even a phone call from the president or Harry Reid. But yet on an hourly basis now, Republicans are being accused of being hostage takers, terrorists, bombs strapped to their chests, arsonists, anarchists, extortionists, and racists. And over the weekend, Democratic Representative David Scott say of Republicans, your hate for this president is coming before your love of this country. Now, this is pretty ugly stuff, and it's all the Democrats have to rely on, all they can depend on, because this increasingly unpopular monstrosity that is nothing like what it was promised, called Obamacare. You've got hate speech everywhere, filling the airwaves. It's probably as good a time as any. I went back and I looked, because I remember the lectures that Obama has given on the tone and civility in Washington. You remember after the Tucson shooting, the Tucson Memorial. It wasn't that long ago, January 2011. Remember that was the shooting of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, deaths of several others. Quote, if this tragedy prompts reflection and debate as it should, let's make sure it's worthy of those we have lost. According to St. Barack, let's make sure it's not on the usual plane of politics and point scoring and pettiness that drifts away in the next news cycle. The loss of these wonderful people should make every one of us strive to be better in our private lives, to be better friends and neighbors and co-workers and parents. Then he added, and if has been discussed in recent days, their death helps usher in a more civility in our public discourse. Let us remember it's not because a simple lack of civility caused the tragedy. It did not, but because only a more civil and honest public discourse can help us face up to the challenges of our nation in a way that would make them proud. So I have a question for the national media. I have a question for the president, Harry Reid, and his Democratic cohorts. Do you think all this name-calling, all of the smears, all of the slander is leading America to a more civil, honest public discourse? Or do you think this qualifies as point scoring and pettiness that characterizes our politics? We've never had a nastier, more polarizing, more vicious, rhetorical president in modern American politics, and he gets away with it. They want a shutdown. They've wanted it from the beginning. They're willing to engage the worst kind of name-calling to get it. They'll negotiate with Syria, Iran, and Russia, but not with Republicans. Pretty sad. Anyway, here with us now is Congressman Scott Ridgel of the great state of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Congressman Steve King, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Congressman Ridgel, you actually were, I understand you all got out of conference. Maybe we should start there. What happened in the conference today? My sources are telling me that, in fact, Republicans are negotiating amongst themselves, and they're not even waiting for a counteroffer. They're just going to put out a third proposal. Is that true?
Well, I think we're working through how to respond to what will surely be a CR that comes back to us.
Well, it's already been voted on in the Senate just moments ago.
Okay. Well, I think we know what that's going to look like. So it was prudent for us to meet today and to work through that issue. I think all of us wish there was a bit more unanimity. In fact, I'm not even sure where my colleagues on this call stand, just because that's just how it is. I mean, there was not as much unanimity as...
All right, we went from defund.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were up late into the night on Saturday. The Senate didn't even bother showing up till 2 o'clock this afternoon today. And they offer no solutions, no counterproposals.
Yeah.
They won't talk to you guys.
And we made a major concession. And I make this point. Look, we are actually negotiating, and you could easily argue that we're negotiating against ourselves. But I think everything that we've done has been a good faith offer. And I think if you ask most Democrats if they really understand it, I was on another radio show today, a local national public radio station, and one of the callers was a union official. Sean saying, look, our union's really upset about this because we can't keep our insurance. I mean, I think a one-year delay is wise. Even if one supports the bill, the underlying bill, I think it's wise. And what we were discussing in conference was the idea of including or actually not allowing the subsidy to go to the benefit.
But wait a minute. So first you guys passed defund, then you passed delay. They
right.
don't even talk to you guys. Now you're going for a third option, from what I understand, is greatly watered down even further, which would just be a delay for the individual mandate like the employer mandate. Why not delay the whole thing, considering it's not ready for prime time?
Well, I do. I'm not trying to get out of the question. I want to be fair to my colleagues here on the show as well. But I think what we've done is put forth what we're – I'm not even sure if we're going to rally behind this. There was some uncertainty about that. But if we bring to the floor what was discussed in conference, I think it is really a good faith effort, and it'd be a win for our country to delay implementation of the bill and also to remove the subsidies, not only for members of Congress and staff, but also importantly for the president and his advisors. So
well, let me get your colleagues' takes on this. Congresswoman, your take? What happened in conference today?
Well, I think what everyone is nervous about is seeing the government shut down. And I think what all of your listeners are worried about is the fact that the economy has been shutting down for 5 years, the private economy. And so what we're trying to do is address this issue of the private economy shutting down. If we fail at this juncture to take on the issue of Obamacare and not defund it and not delay it, then the crack cocaine of government dependency will kick in, and it will be virtually impossible to ever push this back. That's why the most important thing that we could do right now is make sure that we fully defund and fully delay, because it was just said in conference that even the Obamacare employer mandate that President Obama so-called delayed for a year, that wasn't delayed. The only thing that President Obama said is that he's not going to issue any fine for the employer mandate. So if we go forward and all we get out of this deal is delaying the individual mandate for a year, it's worthless.
Because the Obama administration
has no intent of even enforcing that mandate. So we need to take a stronger position as Republicans. Remember, we're the only ones who can stop this.
Let me ask you a question.
We have no obligation to fund it. It's our job to make sure not 1 cent goes to implement Obamacare for this next year.
Did the conference finally finish? Because it was going on as of 3 o'clock when
yes.
I came on the air. All right.
Yes,
so the conference is. All right.
It
so
did.
Where did you leave it in conference, Congresswoman?
Well, they have to now whip it. They have, which means now the leadership has to figure out where the members are on their plan. Their plan is to delay the individual mandate for a year, which, as I said, is worthless because the Obama administration had no intention of enforcing that anyway. And then the other thing they're going to do is take away all health care from any member of Congress and their staff. So that's what they're going to throw over to Harry Reid. But it will not stop Obamacare. Obamacare will go fully forward, including it will be funded. It'll be funded, and the policy will go forward.
Why are they negotiating, Steve King, against themselves? I mean, the president won't even talk to the Republicans. Why don't you guys just leave what you passed on Saturday and say, no, you send it right back to them?
Well, Sean, you've just spoken exactly into the statement that I made in conference a few minutes ago, that we have put out our offer, and you went through the list. We voted to defund, and then we voted to delay. And now we're talking about a third option. What we need to do is say, listen, we have put a proposal in front of you, and without a counterproposal, we're done talking. And the House has provided the proposal. So if the president and Harry Reid are determined to shut down the government, then the House can only capitulate completely to all of their demands or hold our ground and hold it now. I think that if we don't hold our ground now and we're worried about midnight tonight, then and so if we cave in any way at all between now and midnight, that sends the signal that we're so afraid of being blamed for a government shutdown that we'll do anything as demanded by the president or Harry Reid.
What is the consensus among members then? This is beyond bizarre to me that this is so obviously my sources were correct, because that's what I was hearing from people that were inside the room that came out and gave me a call and sent me emails.
Well, I think that it's scattered among the members. I think when it was first presented, it took a while for that to soak in on what it meant. There were enough questions and comments made. Now it looks like it's pulled the conference somewhat apart. I think there's still probably a core of the majority of the conference that would like to go forward with this proposal, but that's not enough to do what they need to do on the floor. So they're going to have to whip it. I hope they come back and say, we're going to hold our ground. You've not provided a counterproposal. And then watch the clock tick till midnight. When 1 minute after midnight, then we're past that fear factor, and we can go on with getting this thing fixed. But
well, maybe now is a good time to call the Capitol switchboard, because it sounds to me like people need to check in, because to me it sounds like they're capitulating, if I'm reading what you're saying that happened in conference. Anyway, the number in Washington, if you want to check in with your congressman or your congresswoman, it's 202-224-3121. Matter of fact, why don't we give it a call, Jason, see if we can get through. Oh, we don't have the line now. Okay, it's not available. But we'll call in a little bit. So, Congressman Ridgel, where do you stand on this new proposal?
Well, I support it, Sean, and that may create some spirited debate here, and that's all right. I think it's the right thing to do at this point. And, you know, I believe in the principle of lead by example. It's one that's deeply embedded in me, and I think that the president, ought to be on this thing, and every member of Congress just ought to be in the same boat as every other hard.
Do you think this is good? Do you think this is good for America, Obamacare?
No, I don't. My votes reflect this, and my commitment's as strong as anyone's.
Oh, wait a minute. Then
if or anywhere else.
How bad is it for the American economy? How bad is it for job creation? I have a list of 300 employers in front of me that are going to reduce people's hours below 30. How bad do you think it is?
Look, I'm an entrepreneur myself. I still have about 150 employees. This is not theoretical to me, Sean, and the points that you're making are very real.
So then why wouldn't you do everything you can do to stop it?
Well, okay, let's walk through that, Sean. Let's walk through that. Let's go day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven. Just keep going out into perpetuity.
Okay, so?
All right, so, well, what do you mean so? I mean, I'm telling you, this really impacts people in real lives in Hampton Roads, Virginia. It's not some type of esoterical.
I have a better solution. I have a solution. Maybe you'll take my idea. Don't you have the ability in the House to fund every aspect of government? Like, you, for example, you funded the military on Saturday night. In case this happens, why don't you go and then fund Social Security and fund Medicare and fund our debt and obligations and send it over one at a time?
We are on common ground right now, Sean. Because
why don't we do that?
It truly, you know, this word gets tossed around a lot, but it truly is unconscionable that a young, you know, Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps or any other service would be on a hillside in Helmand Province in Afghanistan and have to wonder if his wife's going to get a check.
But what I'm saying is, you have the power of the purse. Congresswoman, is that doable? I'm running out of time here, but can you just fund each portion of the government and keep sending bills over one by one?
Yes, we can, and yes, we have. We have done that multiple times now over the weekend. The only people who have presented an option have been House Republicans, and I praise the leadership that they've sent over excellent bills so far. We've sent over the bill to fund the troops. Harry Reid wouldn't touch it. We've sent over bills that would fund every aspect of government, Social Security, Medicare, military, everything.
So then what is the fear here?
Obamacare.
So then what is the fear? The country doesn't want it. The polls are with you. You're funding everything else.
That's right.
I don't understand. Well, I've got to run, but
this is the time to make the stand. This is the time. But I'm telling you, now is when that switchboard needs to melt down, both on the House and on the Senate.
All right, 202.
This is our chance to actually pull something out.
202-224-3121. Thank you all for being with us. Appreciate it.
For more of the Sean Hannity Show, go to Hannity.com.